You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday night in, or no, Tuesday night in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm losing track of the days already here in NFL free agency. The Steelers' Omar Khan is still cooking. Another big deal for the Steelers here after signing Russell Wilson, after signing Patrick Queen. They trade Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers for Dante Jackson. It's been a bit of a mouthful there, Brian Bacco. Our Steelers insider, I'm Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, here to react with Brian to this trade. Brian, your thoughts here?
I'm not surprised, Adam. I threw this out on a North Shore Drive episode not too long ago with Carter, and it got picked up by some of the blogs, and so then I ended up doing a mailbag lead on it. It makes a lot of sense for the Steelers to move on from Deontay Johnson. Number one, I don't know if you win with a guy like that. I think he may have lost the plot a little bit in terms of wanting the numbers. And hey, don't get me wrong, going an entire NFL season without a receiving touchdown might do some things to a man. So that was 2 years ago. Obviously, he found the end zone a few times again last year. But I think for him, at least from my vantage point, it seemed to become a little bit too much about the individual, not enough about the team. Some of that spilled over into the locker room. We know after the Browns game, the altercation with Minkah Fitzpatrick, both guys brushed it off. Now, a few months later, might be pretty obvious. If you try to test Minkah Fitzpatrick in the eyes of the Steelers organization, you're going to lose big time. So don't do that. But, and the other thing too, is after all that in defense, or to be fair to Deontay, I should say, I don't even know if he wanted to be here. We know the ball was not flying where it needed to go through the air very often over these last couple seasons. We know that George Pickens, in my view at least, eclipsed him in terms of talent and production. So that, add up all of those things and just the simple logistics of last year of his contract, potentially some value to a team that wants a veteran wide receiver and doesn't have a guy like George Pickens already on the roster. It just made a lot of sense to get this done.
Brian, I want to dig into the nitty gritty on this deal. Just want to remind everyone here at the top of the video, our primary sponsor for this episode of the podcast is Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Brian, I want to get into Dante Jackson here in a second, but let's talk a little bit more about Deontay Johnson. What is his legacy here in Pittsburgh? Had the one really great year with over 100 receptions, but other than that, I don't know that we ever saw him be a great receiver. We saw him be a good receiver. Obviously, he leaves with some of that friction that you mentioned. How do you look at him and his Steelers career now that it is over?
He did some good things for sure. I mean, remember the kind of fitting thing about that draft pick in 2019 was the Steelers used it or acquired it, I should say, in the Antonio Brown trade. So they used that pick they got back from, hard to keep track, was it the Raiders, I think, initially dealt for him, right? So they used that high third round pick to draft his successor here. And Deontay Johnson has a skill set that is impressive at the NFL level for sure. I mean, he gets open with ease. He's one of the quickest players off the line of scrimmage. He's got good run after the catch ability when he doesn't lose his compass and start going backwards a bit too much to try to make a play. So, I mean, he was a nice player for a couple seasons, but I think the Steelers made a mistake in giving him the deal that they did. They didn't get completely, raked over the coals with that extension a couple years ago, but I just didn't think he was a true number one receiver in the NFL. I would not have, extended him at all. If they hadn't, they might have run into this situation back in 2022, that if he's going to be holding out for a new deal from camp, then you either got to give it to him and try to mitigate the, risk contract-wise, which I think they did a decent job of, or you'd have to move on from him then. And I don't know that that was the right time. So legacy-wise, not a lot that moves the meter for me. I think he was a popular player for some, but he was also very frustrating for some. He had drops early in his career, but he fixed those. So I don't like when people continue to attach that to Deontay Johnson. I don't think that's fair when a player works really hard to improve a weakness in his game. But I think the other thing about it too, Adam, and I alluded to this off the top, when the Steelers take care of one of their own, when they lock up one of their homegrown guys with an extension, not only do they expect you to increase your production and continue to impact winning, but I think they expect you to take on more of a leadership role within the team and certainly at least your position group. And with some of the stuff that went on the last couple years with him, as far as the body language, the fumble give up scene around the football world in Cincinnati, and again, that locker room dust up with Minka, I don't think he fulfilled that aspect of his deal either.
Obviously, this creates a need at receiver, Brian. Where do you think the Steelers go from here? Obviously, it's heightened compared to where we haven't been talking a ton about draft receivers. We've been kind of talking about it as maybe a day two, day three type of need. Does this elevate it to a day one need? Are we going to be talking about receivers in our mock drafts this week on Saturday when we do that video? Do they look in free agency? Are there guys on the board that intrigue you? Are there guys on the trade market that they could look at? Or is it going to be a combination of maybe one or two of those things?
Well, I'll start with this, Adam. I'm already seeing a lot of people on social media suggesting the Steelers should go out and get a Calvin Ridley, try to trade for T. Higgins type of guy, or use a first round pick on, your next great wideout. I still don't think you necessarily need to do that. And I don't know that I'd be on board with that, because I think one of the biggest reasons why you want to deal away, or you're at least okay with dealing away Deontay Johnson in the first place, is to pave the way for George Pickens to be the unquestioned go-to guy. We've seen these last couple years, and this is the second blockbuster receiver trade made by Omar Khan, the Chase Claypool at the in-season trade deadline a couple years ago. I think both of these moves tell you they value role allocation, at least at that position. There were three mouths to feed then. There was naturally, I think, going to be some tension between who's the number one going into next year. And especially when you are committed to a run-first identity, both in terms of your player personnel and now your coaching staff personnel with Arthur Smith at offensive coordinator, there's only so many targets to go around. So I like sort of streamlining things to Pickens. It's always good to have better players. It's always good to have more talent around you. That's for sure. You don't want it to be a situation where teams can devote so much attention to George Pickens that they take him away. But I'd rather get a good number two, a good second round pick, maybe used on a receiver in this draft class. Though, as you sort of noted there, Adam, you could probably get a pretty good player in the third round at this point who might even be able to step in and be the Robin to George Pickens' Batman right off the bat. And Tyler Boyd is a name that gets thrown out a lot. I think schematically makes a ton of sense. Connection-wise, being from Clairton, Pitt great, makes a ton of sense. I worry a little bit about, there's been some not-so-fond things said about the Steelers from Boyd over the last few years, but maybe that stuff can blow over at least, you know, stuff he says about the organization or the team or whatever. I think rivalries run hot, and you know, these guys are pros. You compartmentalize. He made a comment, I think, about George Pickens sort of specifically last season. That to me would be more of something you'd have to address. But yeah, maybe they'll just go on this tour of first you had a guy from the Ravens who took it personal to play you and try to play you and beat you. And then you maybe add a guy from the Bengals who's always taken it personal to try to beat you. And let's just not forget that Calvin Austin waiting in the wings, the previous regime offensively never really figured out how to get the most out of him. Perhaps Arthur Smith and his new lieutenants can.
Where does this leave, you know, George Pickens? And do you think he's ready to be this unquestioned number one, given that, you know, we've talked about maturity issues with him, just like we have with Deontay Johnson. Now they're kind of putting all their eggs in that basket, at least for now. Do you think he's ready for that role and to step up and be the guy who is the unquestioned number one in Pittsburgh?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Physically and talent-wise, production-wise, absolutely. His stats don't lie. I mean, they tell the story from last year. He just missed the top four for the AFC to be in the Pro Bowl. I think his receiving yards were fifth in the conference, but he did it on way fewer targets and receptions. So he was an efficient downfield threat for whoever the Steelers had at quarterback. You increase the amount of times that you're going his way, and you know the numbers should skyrocket as well. But he's had his own maturity issues, you know, on the field. You know, and sometimes the between the whistle type stuff. And, you know, doesn't always comport himself that well in the forward-facing aspects of the job, which Mike Tomlin, you know, addressed somewhat bluntly last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is big for him, and it's the Steelers giving him a vote of confidence to say, now I could be right. Hey, if they go out and get somebody who's clearly a 1A to Pickens as 1B, then forget I said all this, but I think it right now, at least, it's a vote of confidence of, hey, George, you're our guy. We need you to step up mentally, physically, everything for this team. And, you know, obviously, whether it's written or unwritten, what goes without saying there is if you do that, you're going to cash in yourself when that next contract time comes.
This was a rare football trade, Brian, player for player. I believe they flip-flopped. Would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, and you know, slight improvement in picks for the Steelers.
Yeah, they swapped the seventh round pick, so that's kind of an incidental part of the deal. But you know, structurally, it's a player for a player. You get Dante Jackson back. How does he fit into this secondary for you? Are we better thinking of him? You and I love the Batman and Robin analogy. Is he a Robin to Joey Porter Jr.'s Batman? He's dealt with a lot of injuries. Didn't have any interceptions this past season. Or do you look at it more of a, you know, a Levi Wallace, what Patrick Peterson was by the end of last season, which was more of a depth piece in that secondary? Do you think they still need to go out and get a corner opposite Joey Porter Jr.?
He might be like a Nightwing. I'm not sure he's going to be in the next installment of the series because, yes, he's getting up there in age, you know, late 20s. Did have a big, I think it was a significant Achilles injury a couple years ago. Panthers were probably going to cut him because he just wasn't worth, you know, the contract that now obviously the Steelers are taking on. So I wonder if there's another shoe to drop with Jackson. If the Steelers say, hey, same kind of situation, you know, would you be willing to take a pay cut? Or, you know, you just pay him this roster bonus, you bring him to camp, see what he's got, and if he doesn't have it anymore, no harm, no foul. You just move on from him, sort of like you did with William Jackson, no relation as far as I know, a couple years ago, but both were veteran corners with good pedigree. You know, maybe their best years behind them, but it is a position of need for the Steelers. They've got some young players in the offing with Darius Rush and Corey Trice. It helps to get more of a veteran player in here. But again, Adam, I don't think this was so much about, and they must have some sort of belief in Jackson, or else you'd just try to maybe leave him out of the trade and not have the, and then you dump Deontay Johnson's contract entirely and save that money. So maybe they do have a little bit of faith in rejuvenating him, but I think more than anything, this was a volunteers, not hostages type deal. And, you know, they're hoping addition by subtraction by unloading a player who, again, on paper, I think this looks like a fleecing in terms of the in favor of the Panthers, but we know being close to the team that there are more dynamics than that at play.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Corey Trice, Darius Rush. I mean, are you basically saying at this point, Brian, that we're kind of back where we started in terms of the secondary, where you wouldn't be surprised to see them go out and you know, maybe chase a first round guy or a second, third round guy? Or to me, it doesn't really alter my belief what they should do at all, one way or the other. If you like a corner in the first round, go get him. If you like someone better in the first round and you want to take some of these corners further down the order, you and I talk every week about how there's some depth here. It sounds to me like it doesn't really alter your perception either of their needs at that spot.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, my take on the cornerback position right now is sort of similar to my take on the receiver position for the Steelers. I think you've hit on some evaluations in terms of George Pickens being that guy, in terms of Joey Porter Jr. being him. So sort of pat yourself on the back and, you know, allow those guys to be elevated into those number one roles, and don't necessarily try to swing for the fences in terms of draft capital or contract salary cap money spent on getting another number one. Get somebody who can be a really good two, and, you know, use your resources elsewhere to build up this roster. I suppose the Russell Wilson out of left field move that they made over the weekend and getting him the vet minimum allows you to do some different things. You know, you're already paying big money to two edge rushers. You're already paying a hefty safety contract. We know that the Cam Hayward situation might get a little thorny, and, you know, Larry Ogunjobi remains around at a number that's a bit bloated for what he's been giving you the last couple of years. So, you know, all those things are in consideration. It wouldn't shock me if they still go out and sign a corner, maybe more of a mid-level guy. And as far as the draft, I'd start looking, you know, second round or later. I'm still eyeing an offensive lineman to sort of rebuild up the middle in the first round as we sit here today.
Yeah, that's the one thing we have not seen them get to yet, Brian, in this, what, we're coming to the end of day two of legal tampering. The offensive line is still looming as a big need. So it looks like they've kind of consolidated that may be the direction that they want to go in the draft, but it's still early. There could be a lot more deals here. Brian, thanks for joining me this evening. Christopher Carter will be back on the North Shore Drive on Wednesday. He's talking all things Russell Wilson with the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. What didn't work in Denver? What are some of the potential red flags coming with Russell Wilson? Chris is getting into all that. If you missed Brian's reaction video to the Patrick Queen signing, please make sure you check that out. Brian had a fortuitously timed episode of Chip Tam and Football. You want to tease anything there, Brian?
Yeah, it was more of a, you know, what didn't, I'd booked it already, and then the Patrick Queen move happened. So I was talking to Eric Eager of Sumer Sports. You know, they're an analytics firm that works with a lot of front offices, and Eager is well-respected and plugged in around the league. So he's got a very bird's eye view of things, which, you know, loyal viewers know we always try to do on the Tuesday show. So yeah, check that out. And I also wrote about Russell Wilson and some of the potential pitfalls of bringing him in. In the two, well, I guess it'll be in the Wednesday edition of the paper, but it was online Tuesday morning if you haven't seen that yet.
Yes,
I assume Chris and his guests will go over some of that territory as well in Wednesday's show.
Yeah, so make sure you're subscribed for that. I'll also be back Thursday with Paul Zeiss reacting to all of these moves. If you like this video, please like it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate that. Otherwise, we will update you as moves do or do not come in. And we're looking forward to more things to break down. So
shout out to Shaler Boys Basketball making the state quarterfinals tonight as well.
Congratulations to your boys. They beat my Bethel Park Blackhawks a few weeks ago. So glad
and thanks to Omar Khan for holding off on the move until after I watched that game. So that worked.
It's been a great day of timing here, Brian. So thanks everyone. We will talk to you again soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.